The price reduction clause is like the old baseball reserve clause. One side hates it, the other side clings stubbornly to it. Now the General Services Administration has been asking industry for comments on the price reduction clause. That's like Walter O'Malley asking what to do with Pee Wee Reese. Contractors, you better drop what you're doing and respond. We get more now from Larry Allen, president of Allen Federal Business Partners. And Larry, you think it's pretty significant that GSA has not once but twice asked for comments on the clause.
That's right, Tom. The price reductions clause is probably the most controversial part of GSA's multiple award schedule program, the government's largest centralized acquisition program for commercial items and services. And just in the past several months, GSA has gone out twice asking industry to comment on various aspects of the price reductions clause. What's the collection burden? Should part of the clause be done away with? Should the entire clause be done away with? And if you back it up just a little bit further, actually they've gone out for comments three times in 13 months on the price reductions clause. So GSA is serious. They really want to hear from industry about what their views are on this highly controversial part of the GSA schedules program.
And just for the beginners in the audience, that's the clause that requires the government to get the best price that the supplier is offering anywhere to the government through the GSA schedule.
Well, price reductions clause is often looked at that. In fact, what it does is try to give the government some assurance that through the schedules program, there's fair and reasonable pricing tied to what's happening with usually large commercial customers so that the government is getting the same type of treatment as a company's large commercial customer base.
Now, this all comes in the context of GSA trying to build a transaction database so that all prices paid by anyone for anything in the government could somehow be collected and searched at the time of an order.
That's correct. And what GSA has done, Tom, is use the carrot approach of modifying the price reductions clause substantially as an incentive for the stick part, which is the creation of the transactional database, the prices paid database, as some people call it, that would require a whole lot more work by contractors in terms of tracking and submitting to GSA information on all of their GSA contract sales.
You would think the GSA would have that information as a result of the government issuing purchase orders.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the schedules program is unique in that the great majority of the schedule transactions are direct between the contractor and the government buyer, as opposed to something like NASA Soup, for example, where NASA actually does touch every purchase order that goes through the Soup program. So they have that information, but GSA only has information about schedule buys when they are conducting assisted acquisition services on the part of a government buyer.
Understood, but nevertheless, the government issues, all the contracting officers issue their purchase orders. Can't that information just be sent, I mean, electronically to this database?
Well, that's one of the arguments from industry, Tom, is that, look, the government has this data. It is, after all, the government's data. Why require contractors individually to populate the database? You know, isn't this kind of what we have the Federal Procurement Data System for, that captures this information not just for schedules but for everything else that's $25,000 and above? So a lot of the information that GSA is asking contractors to submit, the government already has.
With respect to the price reduction clause, what is it that you think contractors should weigh in and say about it?
Well, I think contractors for a long time have believed that the price reductions clause is an anachronism. It's a vestige left over from the pre-internet age when it wasn't easy always to do pricing comparisons for the same or similar items. Today, we have that ability to do multiple online searches, Tom, and you know, when you and I go out and buy things, it's very easy to do price comparisons for the same or similar items. We can make best value determinations. If it's easy for us to do it, it's easy for the government to do it. Simply put, the price reductions clause is no longer required to assure that the government's getting a fair and reasonable price on schedule, so long as government buyers are doing the work they're supposed to do to assure that they are doing market research and getting good pricing. So I think contractors should be commenting on just that fact that, look, we're in 2016, the price reductions clause is over 40 years old, it's time to be retired, and all it does now generally is to serve to trip up companies that are otherwise making a fair attempt to be compliant with their contract.
All right, we just need 5,000 of them to weigh in and say so. Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners, and something else you write about this week has caught our eye already, and I see that you're weighing in on the Federal Trade Commission and Justice Department trying to get new scrutiny of possible mergers and acquisitions even before the fact, especially in the defense industry.
That's right. You know, this whole issue of defense industry consolidation, whether it's DOD or the Department of Justice or the Federal Trade Commission, Tom, has the government clearly worried. They're worried that if there's another round of mergers and acquisitions among particularly top-tier defense contractors, that that's really going to harm both competition and the defense industrial base overall. So recently, the Department of Justice and the Federal Trade Commission did what I characterize as issue a shot across the bow, a notice to DOD contractors in particular that we're looking at your possible merger and acquisition activity, and we're going to be keeping a close eye on that to ensure that the best interests of the United States government are not negatively affected by that type of transaction.
It seems kind of ironic in this time when the Defense Department is setting up offices in Silicon Valley and looking for all these innovative companies that barely exist yet in some cases, and they're worried about the old line outfits trying to stay efficient.
Well, that's exactly right. And if you're a customary defense contractor, traditional defense contractor, you'd be excused for asking what's going on. DOD has gone out of its way to make it clear that, look, in terms of innovation, we don't want you. We've set up an office in Silicon Valley to get innovation, and we're trying to increase our industrial base. On the other hand, they don't want to let you go either. The DOD wants to keep the traditional contractor base because it's tried and true and reliable. That can pose some interesting challenges for contractors. Their customer telling them, you know, don't bother bringing us innovative solutions, but don't bother trying to merge and become more efficient because we kind of like you the way you are.
And they have issued this warning, they say, or a reminder to industry, but there's not anything really in the rulemaking process. There's nothing to comment on to them.
No, nothing to comment on them. And, you know, I think that there will be some rounds of merger and acquisition activity. It's kind of inevitable when you have the shrinking defense dollars that we do. And frankly, I think that some of DOD's activities in Silicon Valley spur the interest of traditional defense contractors who may want to acquire those firms. So my advice to contractors, Tom, is, look, if you're thinking about doing an M&A transaction, make sure you've got antitrust counsel at your shoulder when you're doing that.
Larry Allen is president of Allen Federal Business Partners. As always, good advice. Thanks for joining me.
Tom, appreciate it, and I wish your listeners good selling.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/Federal Drive and click Share with Friends.